Blog Talk Radio.
Morning, noon, and night. It's always great to have my peoples going directly into your site. It's the Urban Therapy with Sun Show, and my name is Sun 752, and it's also, Omar Ghost Star. Y'all know far is how way we gonna go, and everything is gonna be y'all right, and that's real. Oh, all right, so let's get a pop it. Urban Therapy with Sun 752 edition. The Urban Therapy with Sun Show. We do this every single Sunday at 1 p.m. till around 2:30-ish. And the reason that we say 2:30-ish is because sometimes it gets so heated that we just have to do a little OT on a Sunday. And it is Sunday. This is the show where adults come out and play with other adults. We laugh, we cry, we argue, fuss, and fight, go back and forth with each other and get, we just bust it up all crazy. We take an introspective look into our own personality to see how the universe projects us into this thing called the world and try to figure out this thing called life. I am your host, Sun 752, a.k.a. Omar with the rrrr. And if you can't say Omar with the rrrr, well, then you just say Omar with the R. This is the Urban Therapy with Sun Show all up in your area. And we are talking about the symbolism of setbacks. The symbolism of setbacks. Do you believe that if you, listen, some of us, y'all hear how I just sniffed just like that? Some of us, if we get the sniffles, we'd be like, oh, shit.
Oh man, I got a little sinus pressure. I got some problems. I got a little tickle in my throat, and we might think, well, that means we about to get sick. You might really believe that in your heart of hearts, like, yo, I'm about to be sick. Doesn't necessarily mean that. But when other things in your life ain't really going right, it's easy to look at things like, you know, when it rains, it pours. Trouble don't last always, but when it rains, it pours. And people gonna agree with you with that. You know they are. People are quick to be like, yeah, you know, when it rains, it does pour. You know, when something bad happens, it seems like another bad thing happens. You can't dig yourself out of this hole. You can't climb out of the hole, I should say. You can't do no better for a while. You just have to let things play out the way they play out. Is that true, though? Because to a certain degree, it may be true. If you know that you haven't really been handling your business, you haven't really been taking out any insurance, you haven't really been up on your security. Sure, you have no control, but the things that you have control over, why would you think that a minor setback is going to be the thing that's going to take you up off of here, or the thing that's going to really make things worse for you? Things go from bad to worse. We say it all the time. We don't mean to be negative, but we do. We say it all the time. Things went from bad to worse, you know? But that lets you know pretty much that we're not really in control of our destiny. We're not really in control of our lives. When we think about good luck and bad luck, that is direct evidence that we're not really in control of what's going on. A lot of people talk about karma. You know how people talk about karma all the time. And I ain't gonna lie, it kind of gets under my skin when people talk about karma, because they talk about karma in the sense like it's a vendetta or something. Like, you know, karma is a bitch. Karma is this, the karma is that. Like, karma is good and bad energy. That's all it is. It's not the bug that you stepped on earlier in the day and the bees come in to sting you to revenge. It's not like that. Yeah, I know that we are taught to believe that when you do dirt, you get dirt. But we also have direct evidence that we know plenty of people that are off the charts and off the rails with the messed up shit that they do. Do bad things happen to them all the time? No, it don't. It don't. But what do? We look at it like, yeah, well, yeah, but they're going to get theirs in the end. They're going to get theirs in the end. Here's the thing about karma that a lot of people don't seem to understand. Karma is not for you to witness. You will not bear witness to somebody else's karma. You will bear witness to your own, but sometimes you may not even really consciously bear witness to your own karma because you may not be conscious of where it's coming from. Something that you did a long time ago, good or bad, that's how karma works. It doesn't happen soon after. That's not karma. Karma is an energy. And it picks its spots. It doesn't allow you to pick karma to show up or to show out. It doesn't allow that. So when we get into this whole notion of the symbolism of setbacks, just because something bad happens to you doesn't necessarily mean that more bad things are going to happen to you. And it also doesn't mean that something good is going to happen to you to offset it. Nature balances. Nature always seeks to balance. But most of us aren't even in tune with nature. So how do we know? We're so busy picking our spots that we think that the universe picks its spots too. And it may do that, but it won't do it in a way that we can totally clock and map. If we could do that, then our lives would probably be seamless and easy and carefree. But as you know, it doesn't really work out that way. Cal Chamberlain, mi favorita, how you doing? It's so great to see ya. Thanks for coming over, Mom. Yeah. The symbolism of setbacks. You know?
You know how the old heads are always saying that things happen in threes. I don't know about y'all, but this is one of the most negative things that I know about. Things happen in threes. One person in your family dies and you be looking for the next two. And we pick those spots. Y'all know we do. We pick those spots like, please don't let it be my uncle that I do like. Let it be my cousin that's out there tripping. You know, the one that stole your car before. It ain't that I don't love him, but if you're going to take somebody, get after him. Don't take my uncle. He's a good man. He was always there for me. He represented to the fullest. Don't take him. My cousin is available. All right, now we need the third one. Who will be number three? Well, let's say that it is true that death comes in threes. It doesn't mean that it's going to be the three that you know about. It doesn't mean that it's going to be the three that you have in your family. It doesn't mean that it's going to be three that you love. And it doesn't even really mean that it's going to be three. But There are plenty of us who look for that evidence and believe in that evidence, and we stand by that evidence. Some of us have even gone as far as to try to prove that it's true. It's superstition. That's what it really is. It's superstition. Death comes in threes. But believing that death comes in threes is that form of the symbolism of setbacks. So you ever ask yourself, if death comes in threes, how do births happen? I guess births happen, you know, sort of like the stork, sort of like the cabbage patch. We don't really know how many babies are going to be born. We know somebody out there pregnant. But death can come to you out of nowhere, right? We don't look at it as life can come to you out of nowhere. But life can come to you out of nowhere if you change your definition of what life means. And sometimes that's what we need to do, but we often fail to do. I ain't trying to get all super, super deep with y'all today, but I do want to get into some things about this symbolism of setbacks with y'all. Because it's important. You know what I mean? We just out here. Talking about, you know, we worried. There's a lot of things going on in the world. We got war going on overseas, rumors of war going on right here. We still are in the middle of a pandemic. People still are getting sick and dying over this COVID thing, this virus that's going on out here. You may be having financial problems linked directly to the pandemic, trying to get up out of that. You know what I mean? When we were in the beginning of the pandemic stages, a lot of us couldn't go to work, had to get on unemployment. And you know how that unemployment thing goes. It's like the state giveth and the state taketh away. It feels uncomfortable to be on unemployment for a lot of us. Because we know that they set a time limit. Sometimes they extend it. Sometimes they shorten it. Sometimes they come back. They spin the block and tell you, oh, yeah, I know that we said that you were eligible, but then we said that you weren't eligible. What's good? That kind of shit. That thing right there. That thing. So that's something that we have to deal with, the symbolism of setback. So when all of these things go on, and the sickness itself, trying to worry about getting sick. Many people have contracted the virus, gotten sick. We have the vaccination going on. People like me claim that ever since they got the vaccination, they ain't really been right. Shit ain't been really right ever since they got it. Symbolism of setbacks.
I ain't the only one out here running around here talking about, like, ever since I got that shot, man. You know what I mean? It seemed like on Fridays I start feeling funny. I start feeling funny. It's weird. That could be stress too. It could be psychosomatic. It really could be. It could also be real. There's so many mysteries. And when we don't know things, we have to assume things, guess things, look at other evidence of things, try to find out the truth about things. What's going on, Stacey White? Thanks for coming on through. It's always a pleasure to see you. I see that we have a call on the line. If anyone else would like to call in, I invite y'all to call in. The number to call is area code 319-527-6199. That's the number to call. I said a 319-527-6199. Yes, 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 y'all. I said a 319-527-6199. Yeah, get on the line. I said a 319-527-6199. Yeah, get your shine, baby. 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 319-527-6199, baby. It's the Urban Therapy with Sun Show. It's your host, Sun 752. And we're talking about the symbolism of setbacks. Now, should I look at, like, all right, so since one person called in to speak, does that mean that a bunch of people are going to call in to speak? I mean, I'm saying. No, I won't look at it like that. Why? Because people don't call in every day to speak. They might call in to listen, but they don't call in to speak every day. So call up with the last number is 4828. I'm about to come grab you in a minute. But yeah, the symbolism of setbacks. By the way, make sure that y'all hit that like button. Make sure that y'all share the show. Make sure that y'all subscribe to the channel if you haven't subscribed to the channel yet. This is the Urban Therapy with Sun Show. I'm your host, Sun 752, and we are getting it in. All right, so caller with the last number is 4828. Welcome to the Urban Therapy with Sun Show. Thank you for calling. What's on your mind this afternoon? What's good?
Good morning. How are you?
Feeling like a real man should. And you?
Good, thank you.
That's what's up.
So, you mentioned unemployment, and how, you know, that might make you feel. A lot of people, like when they have financial setbacks, like unemployment, or you know they lose money in stocks or whatever, they take that. Well, I've heard folks take it as a sign of like something that they did bad, like they're getting paid back for something that they did wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, oh man, see, this is happening because, you know, I had sex with my boss's wife, and that might be true, but, you know, whatever, they can come up with all kinds of scenarios. Or this is happening because I didn't help so and so, and then they take it a step further. It's like once they're in that mindset, they take it like nothing's ever going to change, nothing's ever going to get better. Honestly, whenever I've seen that happen, I kind of like roll my eyes.
Mm-hmm.
When you get stuck in that mindset, and you know, I try to encourage first, but it, you know, it's kind of hard when people are in a certain place mentally to pull them out of it. You kind of have to just say whatever you're going to say and then let them pull themselves out of it. But I find that, you know, love setbacks and financial setbacks seem to be the hardest to recover from. I didn't see, well, you didn't mention that anything about love setbacks, but people bear setbacks there too, that people get, that allow themselves to get like locked into a negative place as well. Like, so-and-so and I broke up. And you know, it doesn't have to be anything like either of them cheated. It just didn't work out. And people will be like, oh, I guess I'm going to be alone for the rest of my life. First of all, you're 24, you know, like where are you getting this from? These youngest tend to be real dramatic. But even people my age get stuck in this mindset like it's all over. I'm never going to find anybody. Nobody's ever going to be able to measure up to what I want.
ever.
So I'm just saying.
Yeah. No, it's true. And it's disheartening and it's a little bit sad to see how people have so much faith in their demise or their deterioration. I know that life is temporary and it seems very, very short, but it doesn't mean that the negative always overrides the positive. I just think that is peculiar that when somebody expresses that because one good thing happened to them, that they're going to keep getting these good things happening to them, we look at them very curiously, like, I don't know about all of that. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
We definitely become more rational and realistic when it comes to that. Because, I mean, and one of the reasons is that we don't really believe in our heart of hearts that good things can keep happening. We may say that good always triumphs over evil, but we know that's not necessarily true. But we want to believe that, Yeah, in theory, we want to believe it. But in practice, you don't see it in us. You don't see us really believing in that. Like,
So much so that when we see somebody who does believe it, we get annoyed by them.
Yeah.
Like, oh, this motherfucker. You know what I mean? Like,
not real.
Like, what's wrong with them?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They are not being realistic. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But when somebody says when it rains, it pours, we can relate. Just because, you know, you ever, I don't know if you remember this song by the group Houdini, the rap group Houdini, the legendary rap group Houdini. They had a song called Escape. And
mm-hmm.
It's one of my favorite songs. But the first verse was something, I used to love this first verse because it was something that I could relate to so strongly, even though I wasn't in his position. Jalil, who was the leading rapper of the group Houdini, he said, I left my house this morning on my way to work. Some lady on the train spilled coffee on my shirt, and people started laughing like the whole thing was funny. I would have went home, except I need the money because times is hard. My boss is crazy. The guy who works with me, he's so damn lazy, sits around all day, drinks coffee and tea, expects all the work to be done by me. And sometimes I wonder what they hired me for, to operate computers or run to the store. And when I ask for a raise, they tell me be patient. I've been working 3 years without a damn vacation. Things could be better, but they're getting worse. Before I got this job, I never used to curse. Well, had it up to here with people treating me wrong. So why they tell my DJ to play my song? And I'm like, so you say you got on the train and somebody spilled coffee. It's like, that never really happened to me, but I can visualize it. You know what I mean? Because anybody who used to ride the train knows that you see a whole lot of crazy stuff when you get on the train, especially when it's raining outside. All the bad things happen on the train when it's raining. People drip their umbrellas on you. They might open their umbrella on the damn train. You next to all of these people, they wet. It's almost like you can feel a sickness and disease right there on this on the iron horse. It's crazy, right? So
yeah,
all he's describing is that he's having a bad day. He's only talking about one day. Well, he did say, I've been working 3 years without a damn vacation. However, that doesn't mean that all of his days have been bad in those 3 years. But we can visualize it. We can understand it. We can relate to it. You know, like we could really, really feel what he was talking about. And that song was released in 1984. And I think about that song like, damn, why was that song so real to me at age 14? You know what I mean? Why at age 14? Why did this resonate? Because at age 14, I wasn't in a happy state in my own life, so it made sense. Like it was almost like he was talking to me, even though he wasn't talking about me. But I was like, "Damn, that happened to you too."
Mm-hmm.
You know that kind of stuff.
Go ahead. I was going to say, I just wanted to piggyback off what you just said. But, and we condition ourselves and the people around us to almost expect something negative to happen.
Mm-hmm. And we do. We do. We expect the worst. And it's sort of like an internal battle and an external war. You know what I mean? Like the internal battle is telling us to fight off these negative feelings that we had, fight off the negative thoughts. You know, psychologists will tell you, as soon as you have a negative thought, counter it with a positive thought. Hurry up and do it and get into the practice of that. And they're right. But many people have not received that teaching. And even people who have received the teaching, it's hard to keep it up. Because the negativity seems to reinforce itself time after time after time after time. See? Okay,
mm-hmm.
So your lights get turned off at your house. They only got turned off because you didn't pay the bill. They didn't. This is the one thing that didn't happen because you had sex with your boss's wife. It ain't had nothing to do with it. You didn't pay the bill. If you have a boss, that means you have a job. What did you do with the money that you made on the job? I mean, perhaps you don't make enough to be able to pay your bills, but more than likely it's just a question of bad money management or living beyond your means, whatever the case may be. Living beyond your means is poor money management at the end of the day. But we look for a deeper meaning. You know, God is punishing me. God is punishing me for what I've been doing wrong. I ain't been going to church. I ain't even been praying every day. Sometimes I get home, I'm so tired, I'm so stressed out. I just lay on the bed and I wake up in the morning or whatever. I forget to pray before I went to bed, and I forgot to thank God when I woke up.
Yep.
And now look, out of all these billions of people, the billions of flock that he has in the world, he getting at me, and I deserve it. I shouldn't have been bad. But
that's what I grew up hearing. Actually, if we didn't go to church, and our bike broke, they were like, "See, that ain't nothing but Jesus.
That's right.
Ain't nothing but the Lord." You know, if we didn't pray, and we failed a class, you see. Look at God. I'm like, what? Yeah, my whole life growing up, that's all I heard.
Yeah.
So we were at church every Sunday.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, for our people, we have been, like, superstition has been forced upon us. I put up a post on my social media the other day, and I said, if you really want to break the chains of mental slavery, stop being afraid of ghosts. Because ghosts are something that we have been conditioned to be afraid of. They're also something that we've been conditioned to believe in. And it's something that has kept us from stepping out on faith, from believing in ourselves, from moving forward, from taking chances. It has kept us in a small box of what we consider to be safe, which really isn't safe. It's just contained and familiar. So when we start talking about ghosts are actually, it's sort of like a metaphor. It's sort of symbolic of everything that you're afraid of. You know, that whole boogeyman thing, that came out of slavery. You know, they kept slaves believing that some boogeyman, some ghost, was going to kill them, hurt them, harm them if they ran away from slavery. So if they ran away from that hellish condition that they were forced into, born into, and forced to stay into, then somebody was going to scare them, hurt them, kill them, and put them right back into that condition where it's supposed to be safe. So So the safest place, the safest and most familiar place to you is a place that's actually no more than hell. But they had us believing in this boogeyman, and the boogeyman was a ghost. There were no pictures, there were no actual pictures or evidence of a boogeyman. You couldn't produce what doesn't exist. But mentally, it kept us believing in that. So I believe that if you stop believing in the spook, then you'll start to take more chances. You'll start to believe in more physical evidence. You'll start to research more. You'll start to chronicle things that happen. Get more. Start to build on build more evidence and proof that something, that the probability of something will happen or won't happen. We have to stop believing in ghosts. Ghosts are for me, it's the devil. It's bad luck. It's karma. It's basically all the negative things that are in the unknown. The unknown.
Mm-hmm.
And we say that we should never fear the unknown, but the unknown is the only thing to fear. And for most of us, it's the only thing that we fear. We don't know what's going to happen. To me, it's kind of justified because that's a little scary. Very rarely are we afraid of things that we know. Even if you've ever been afraid of a bully in school, you probably weren't as afraid of them once you got to know them. Once you start to see, like, you know, this kid ain't really all that tough. He can fight. He can fight a little bit. He ain't even all that great of a fighter. Everybody's scared of him because he's aggressive. But I see now he actually has a heart. He's only aggressive because he's taught to be aggressive by somebody else. The kid is abused. You start not to be afraid of him as much. But you may still support his quest to be a bully because he is regulated. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He is still running shit out there, but you gonna got the scouting report on him. Like, this boy ain't really all that. As a matter of fact,
mm-hmm.
he better not try to bully me. Knock his ass clean the fuck out. But everybody else, he got him fooled. And have you ever noticed that the toughest bullies in school, who were normally boys, they always fell in love with a girl that wasn't scared of them? Why wasn't she scared of him? You know what I mean?
That's true.
She might not, huh?
I said that's true. I'm thinking about it. Yeah.
Yeah. He always fell in love with some girl, and although he kept up his tough demeanor with everybody else, she was never scared of him. Like, boy, man, cut that out. Leave that boy alone. Come on.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't she? She wasn't afraid that he
was. That was then, though. I said that was then, though. Nowadays, it's different. You know, these bullies, at least when we were growing up, the bullies, you know, the boys would bully boys. They didn't really necessarily bully girls, not physically. You know, they may have taunted them, but they didn't like physically bully them. Nowadays, there's like no, they cross all lines. So you will find, you know, girls scared of male bullies.
Well, I knew bullies that would bully girls too back in the day, but it wasn't a safe position because once you can bully boys and get away with it. You bully girls, teachers are going to get involved quickly.
Well, they bullied them physically or did they just taunt them?
Yeah, it was mostly taunting. But
yeah, so
that's
what I'm saying. These days, they are like laying hands, and the teachers don't jump in. You know, the teachers don't jump in. Yeah, because we can't jump in, and they teach us like restraint. You know, how to restrain a child, but we're not supposed to jump in. We're supposed to call somebody, things like that.
I knew
it just happens.
I knew boys that hit girls back in the day too, But they, ironically, those weren't the bullies. The bullies that I knew, they put their hands on the girls, but some other random boy would.
Mm-hmm.
Go figure. You know what I'm saying? But
yeah.
Nowadays, most of the bullying takes place online anyway. You know what I'm saying? You know. So anyway, you know, the setup for physical bullying all happens online. You know what I mean? But anyway,
mm-hmm.
And I shouldn't say all, but I'm just talking about some things that we've seen. But you know, but yeah, we fear the unknown. We do, but fearing the unknown and getting comfortable with fearing the unknown keeps us from getting familiar. Familiarity is the ghost. That's the ghost. That's the spook. That's the boogeyman for our people.
Mm-hmm.
Don't go to school. Don't go to school out of state. You don't know them over there. You know? Don't go to that school. Don't go to that Division I school. They got all them white people over there. Them white people prejudiced. They got the Grand Dragon of the Ku Klux Klan out there. How many Grand Dragons are there? So is there a Grand Dragon in every chapter or something?
I think so.
There must be, because I'm always hearing about the Grand Dragon here, the Grand Dragon. I'm like, God damn, all these damn dragons. Fire-breathing ass white people. But yeah, so shaking off the mental slavery is hard for us. It's very difficult because we still believe in these ghosts. And that mm-hmm. ties into this whole symbolism of setbacks. That's the ghost, the negative things, the unknown negative things to come. I want to go back to what I was talking about before you called in. I don't know if you were listening, but I was talking about how they say death comes in threes. Have you ever heard that?
Yeah, I've heard that. They say it a lot in the church, and I grew up in a church. So,
is that where it comes from?
As far as I'm concerned, mm-hmm. a lot of the stuff that spooks us comes from the church, which is all about conditioning, because organized religion was meant to, you know, was created and forced upon everyone, you know, to try to keep them in line from, you know, as far as rebellions and things like that.
Okay.
And it was like, you know, if you don't want to go to this eternal, you know, afterlife where you're going to be miserable, you have to fall in line. And God wouldn't like, you know, for you to protest against, you know, high taxes and things like this. But yeah, anyway, so it's a long history of spooking that comes from organized religion. And so you'll find that the base for a lot of these old sayings come from the church.
It makes sense. It really does. Yeah. And it's amazing how much of a stronghold that it has. You know, I'm gonna tell y'all something. I wouldn't normally do this. Matter of fact, I'm gonna cover it up. I was at a funeral home. Yeah. I was at a funeral home the other day. And a guy who works at the funeral home with me, and this guy is, he's a difficult employee at the funeral home. And the interesting thing about this guy who is a difficult problem employee at the funeral home, we had to do some things. We had to get some supplies back where they kept the bodies at this funeral home. And so I was like, all right, well, let's go back here and get these supplies. And he wouldn't come. He was like, nah, I don't go back there. And I said, what do you mean? We got to get these supplies. That's where they keep them, over here. And he said, no. He said, look, you can go and get them for us, but I don't go back there where the bodies are. And so I was like, oh, I get it. You afraid of dead people. He'd be like, well, I mean, whatever. He's like,
what
I don't
work at a funeral home.
Exactly. He worked at a funeral home, but he had an issue with death. And in my mind, I'm thinking like, oh. And I, you know, now I'm teasing him a little bit, even though I'm a little apathetic. So I said, I said, one thing is for sure, you ain't got to worry about these dead people hurting you. Their time to harm anybody is past.
Right.
Now, those people who are alive right now, they can scheme and plot and really, really set you up to be harmed. But the time is done with these guys. I said, but I went back there and got the supplies. I said, I learned a lot about him that day. And
what did
you
learn?
Well, I learned that a lot of his difficulties, because like I said, he's a difficult employee. He's a problem employee. It let me see that, he's really a punk at the end of the day. I mean, really, he's a punk. So you'll cause all of these problems and all of this friction and all of this confusion and bring all of this negative attention to yourself. But all we really got to do is throw out a toy mouse and you are fucking mush. Hey, it is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
You work in a funeral home, but you are afraid of death. What made you even choose to work in the funeral home?
Right.
Is she crazy? They only do one thing. They only do one thing. So,
right.
Needless to say, he's not striving to become a mortician. By the way, the bodies aren't out in the open. This is just where the bodies were stored. You know, they have to have them. They have to have them in a cool area. You know what I mean? You know, so
right.
to slow down the decomposition, so they can get the embalming fluid in them and all of that kind of stuff. But nonetheless, yeah. After that, honestly, he wasn't that much of a difficult employee for me anymore. Because now I know him. You understand what I'm saying? Now,
yeah, I do.
Now he's familiar to me. Before, I couldn't figure out, like, why? What's your motivation? What's going on? Now I'm not clear of what his motivating factors are, but I know one thing. I know for a fact where his fears are. And any enemy of yours, any foe of yours, any opponent of yours, when they know where your weakness is, you're done. You're done.
So I have a question for you.
Sure.
So where's the symbolism of the setback? Is it the catalyst that has him walking around with this fear, or is it symbolism going to be found in your realization of his fear?
Well, I'm going to stop short of giving you the whole scoop, but I'll tell you this. One thing about this difficult employee is that he will definitely shout out all of the negative things that happen as if they happen in a pattern type of way. So if anything happens that he doesn't agree with, he'll let you know. See, they always do this. They don't care about us and blah, blah, blah. Know what I mean?
Yeah.
So for him, every little thing is a symbol, is symbolic of, I mean, every little bad thing that happens is symbolic of the sum of the whole parts. And it's not that way. But if you take time out to explain to him exactly why it's that way, it's like, no. Mm-hmm. Or it's like, I see why you would say that, but it's not.
Oh.
You know.
He's one of those. Okay.
Well, you know, business is business, and people who aren't business-minded don't understand why business has to take place. You know, you'd be amazed at how many people go to work and they don't understand. All they understand is what their job is and how much it pays. They don't look into how the whole operation works. Maybe because they aren't interested, or maybe it's beyond their mental capacity to do so. Somebody like me is always concerned about how this whole thing works. How do we get to my paycheck? Because it might not be there one day. I need to know why.
Mm-hmm.
That's me.
Did he explain why he doesn't want to be around the dead people?
No. Because he's black, I assumed that I knew. You know how many black people are scared of dead people? That's our thing. And it goes right back to slavery. The whole ghost thing, the whole spook thing, the whole boogeyman thing. Don't run, don't explore, don't go look, don't ask no questions. Stay here where it's safe. Safe and familiar. So we can make this money off you. I'm going to feed you. I'm going to clothe you. I'm going to house you. I'm even going to supply your recreation and your procreation. I got you.
Ooh. Yep.
Because that boogeyman out there, you go running your ass to another plantation or trying to take your ass up north, that boogeyman going to catch you and kill you, hurt you, bring your ass right back here where it's safe again after we whoop your ass. Mm-hmm. He told you not to mess around out there. That boogeyman. I told you, nigga.
It's not funny. It's just fucked up. But it's true.
Yeah. Everything we're talking about is really mental conditioning. So the symbolism of setbacks has a lot to do with how you've been mentally conditioned or psychologically conditioned to believe that you may be ineligible for good things to happen except by luck, except by chance. But you will always be eligible for some messed up shit to happen to you. You will always be available when it's time for the Reaper to come.
Mm-hmm.
You will always be available when it's time for somebody to be hurt, stolen from, rejected, dejected, harmed, tainted, and discombobulated, confused, wrecked, all of that stuff. Yeah.
Yep.
That's,
and not
that's
too
like,
much good luck either.
Not no, you'll have good luck like once, but don't be looking for that to keep rolling over. Only the bad rolls over. The good.
That's right.
You know, you
be happy what you got. Yep.
Yeah.
Be happy for what you got. But don't keep expecting it for good to happen. That's crazy. It's crazy. It's crazy that we know that that's how we think, but we continue to think that way, and we continue to teach our children to think that way. Like, why? It doesn't make sense.
Yeah. Whatever fears that we have, unfortunately, we teach them to our children, and we just do. That's why I have this thing against being fearful of things. I'm not fearless by any stretch of the imagination, but I strive to get as close to it as possible. Cause it's like, yo, you know how paralyzing fear can be, but I mean,
yeah,
Yeah, the easiest evidence of what I'm talking about can be found when you find parents that are afraid of mice. 9 times out of 10, you get children that are afraid of mice. Parents that are afraid of dogs. Children that are afraid of dogs. Parents that are afraid of insects. Children that are afraid of insects. Now, I'm not saying that it's 100% consistent. But if the first person, if your first hero teaches you or shows you that they are afraid of something, well, shoot, you took down my mom and my dad. Hell yeah, I'm scared of you. If you can take out those big guys, yeah, man, I ain't messing around with you. You know how you see somebody that's afraid of dogs, and the dog owner tries to comfort him and say like, no, he don't bite.
And oh, you God, yes. Say,
oh, well, he got teeth.
Yes, I am said dog owner. So, yeah, this has happened before.
He got teeth! Like...
I've had somebody stand right in front of my dog. My dog wasn't even doing anything. My dog was wagging her tail. And this woman, you know, an old former friend of mine, she taught her kids to be scared of dogs too. And she stood in front of the dog and screamed. So she screamed. My dog started barking like, what the hell? What's happened? You know, and I'm going, what are you... I actually chuckled first because I'm kind of silly, but I couldn't believe that she just stood there in front of the dog and then just screamed. It was like something off a sitcom. And then her kid screamed, and then they ran out around me. And the dog was like, wait, what is happening right now? It's crazy. It's crazy.
So she confirmed her fears right there.
Right there in the moment. After having, you know, spent the night at the house and been around the dog for like 8 to 12 hours, just out of nowhere, because the dog was close by.
Bark at your dog.
And see what happens. I'm not doing that.
But, yeah.
You know.
It's not supposed to. So hold on. Let me ask you something about that. So do you... Now, it sounds to me like she didn't really have – she wasn't threatened by the dog. The dog wasn't posing a threat. But did it make you think that she had a need to stay afraid of dogs? Or was she was she trying to teach her children or her child or whatever to be afraid of dogs? Like, this dog might be all right, but listen, some snakes are all right too, but you can't trust none of them.
So I'm going to say two things. So I'm going to answer your question first, and then I'm going to give an example, a quick example of that. But yes, I felt like she had a need to be afraid, even though the dog had not posed a threat within the 12 hours that she and her children had been at the house, you know, overnight. It was like she had to create a scenario that said, see, this is why I'm afraid of dogs, you know, and it's like people want to stay in their fears. They don't, I know it's going to sound weird, but some people are more comfortable and more settled in their fears. For whatever reason, their fears make more sense to them. And that leads me into the second thing that I was going to say. I have a daughter, I have three daughters. So my oldest daughter, she and I always butt heads because she's a negative Nancy. And and she doesn't get it from me. She might get it from her father. She might get it from her father's mother. And she might get it from my mother, to be quite honest with you, where it's like this doom and gloom. And no matter how many times I would say to her, you know, yes, this went wrong, but that doesn't have to be all it is. This is how you can get out of it. So I would try to teach her coping skills to try to, you know, help condition her to think her way out of something that didn't go right the way that she wanted. And she would just say, no, you know, Umi, that's crazy. The proof is right there. You know, this horrible thing happened. This is all it is. And I would be like, no, this is not all it is or all it has to be. And so you're like, it's like some people are, they condition themselves and they've been conditioned by other people to remain stuck in that fear, stuck in that negative, you know, way of thinking. Mm-hmm. Like they don't want to make sense of it because for whatever fucking reason, that negative thing is what makes more sense to them.
Yeah. Well, sometimes, unfortunately, fear becomes a place that's comfortable for some people because it's familiar. You know, I mean, although this is supposed to be a good thing, but they say fear no one but God. However, God is the only one you can't see.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, like, you know, so it should be like, you know, get familiar with these people and, you know, so you won't have to be afraid, but that's not how we put it. Fear no one but God. Yet we give you all of these things in this world to be afraid of. Some of them make sense. Some of them don't make sense. You know, there is a such thing as healthy fear. There's definitely a such thing as a healthy fear. You know, like I wouldn't suggest that you go out and try to make friends with wild animals who are more afraid of you and prone to attack because of their fear than you are. You know, I think you should have a healthy fear in that regard, but, you know, fearing things that are smaller than you, weaker than you, and are really more afraid of you than you are of them. But you're putting on a pretty good show. But yeah, that fear can be a comfortable place for some people. And unfortunately, it's definitely a place where too many people find comfort. Well, I'm good. I ain't doing all that. You know, I'm not saying that you should risk your life or whatever, but when we talk about the symbolism of setbacks, a lot of it has to do with your fears. The fear factor is definitely evident in the things that you are afraid of. And the reasons it's evident in the reasons that you think that because one bad thing happened to you, that more bad things are going to happen to you. Because Big Mama passed, you think that Auntie this and Uncle that might pass too. Like, nah, it doesn't really. It didn't say that it's the three in your family. It didn't say that it's the three that you know. It may be the three that you hear about. Maybe you heard about two on the news, well, one on the TV, one on the radio, and then one that lived around the corner. It's still three.
Mm-hmm. That reminds me of the show. When you said fear factor, reminded me of that show. And the person who won was always the person who did not let the setback from the different challenges get in their head. I don't know if you ever watched the show.
I ain't gonna lie. I mean, a lot of it had nothing to do. Like the part where they had to eat stuff, I don't think that had anything to do with fear. It's just like, man,
they were eating
like
crazy stuff.
They were eating
like
spiders.
Live mini octopus. A lot of people have fear of those things. And when you're auditioning for the show, they ask you a whole bunch of questions, and then they pull the cast according to their fears, and so that's why the challenges were the way they were. So they already knew that they had people who were afraid of heights, afraid of, you know, bugs, afraid of things like that.
I saw them. I saw somebody who had to eat. It was like a piece of meat. And it had like maggots and shit on it. I'm like, wait, that's dangerous. Like, You have to get this talk to get this $50,000, bro? Like, I don't know. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
I don't know if that had anything to do with fear. I guess in a way it did, but it's like that's just totally unhealthy and really extreme. You know what I'm saying? But hey, it is what it is. But yeah. The symbolism of setbacks, you know, when you're around a person that really is like down in the dumps, and let me go back to this, stress and depression fuel this time in, time out, day in and day out. You know, that's why it's really important to have certain things going on in your life that will and can make you feel better. Hopefully it's not negative things or destructive things that make you feel better. You know, some people turn to drugs and alcohol and substance abuse in order to feel better about about life and the way that they feel and to try to treat themselves emotionally. I don't want anybody to do that. That's not a good practice. But it's definitely good to have something going on in your life that makes you feel confident, that makes you feel strong, that makes you feel vital, that makes you feel important.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're going to need those things to fall back on or to turn to in times of extreme stress or looming depression. You know, and when you really think about it, it's normally people who lack their belief that they are good at something that fall into that systemic well of negativity and believing that more bad things are going to come. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know how the rest of the mystery machine crew put up with Scooby-Doo and Shaggy. I don't know how they did it. You know what I'm saying? Like, being scared to go every fucking way you go. Like, come on, man. Oh, come on, Scoob. Like, you got a dead dog that's scared? Who does that? I don't know, right? Yeah.
That's funny.
Leave the weed-smoking hippies at the crib. You know what I'm saying? You can go. You can go chase these ghosts, ghouls, and goblins and shit. But yeah.
Well, sometimes the fear is not that, not just that they don't know how to do something, but it's maybe they do know how to do it, but they're not good enough.
Mhm. They might know how to do it great, but if you don't believe in your mind that you're good enough, it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter.
Exactly.
Did you ever used to watch WWF wrestling before it became WWE?
Yes.
Okay. Now, you know that there were a lot of wrestlers, but the champion always remained the same. The only belts that changed a lot was the Intercontinental belt and the tag team belt. The WWF belt stayed the same for years and years. When I started watching wrestling at the age of like 8 or 9 years old, Bob Backlund was the WWF mm-hmm. champion. And he stayed champion until he lost to the Iron Sheik.
Mm-hmm.
And the Iron Sheik only held the belt briefly until Hulk Hogan beat him. Now, mm-hmm. although wrestling was fixed, when you're younger, you don't recognize that the fix is in. Even if you don't believe it's real, you don't understand what goes on in the background to determine who wins and who loses. So I definitely didn't know how that went. So, but I would notice that certain wrestlers were really, really good but they couldn't get that belt. Now, me being young, not realizing that he can't get the belt because the fix is in for the champion to keep the belt. Mm-hmm. See, they didn't. You know, later on, when it became the WWE, they started playing around with the champions. They would let a champion lose and come back and become champion again. They didn't do that a lot back in the day. You know, the champion
right.
was the champion. He was pretty much the god.
Right.
So I remember, and you probably remember this wrestler called the Junkyard Dog.
Yes.
Extremely popular. It's funny because nowadays I would kind of look at him like a coon, you know, running around there on all fours and shit, barking and all that kind of shit. Chain around his neck and ugh. Yeah, it's cringeworthy as an adult. But as a...
No,
as
it,
a,
was, it was cringeworthy back then too, for me.
You know what? I thought it was too. But here's my point. He was a good wrestler, but I always knew he wasn't going to win. I'm not even sure what it was, but I knew he wasn't going to win. Like, he would win consistently the matches that he was in, but when it came to the championship, I'm thinking to myself, there's no way they're going to let nobody like this get the belt. No way. Even the Intercontinental belt. I'm like, not you. We ain't ready for you. But he was a fan favorite. Everybody liked the dog, Junkyard Dog. Rawr, 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 woo, however he used to do it. You know? You know. And there were other wrestlers like him that were really, really good, but you knew they weren't going to get the belt. So if I'm a witness and I know that I can't put all my faith, trust, and confidence in you because I don't think that you're good enough, I'm definitely not going to put my money on you because I know I'm going to lose it. Now, imagine how you must feel inside when you keep going for the belt and you're not getting it. Even though it's all fixed, but me not knowing that. And you being a performer, you being a wrestler, you being an athlete, and knowing that no matter what I do out there, I'm not going to be able to impress this promoter enough to ever become champion.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to have to make my money some other kind of way, but it won't be with a championship belt. I'm going to have to find another way to justify that I should be paid handsomely. You know, so... And that's for a false sport. That's for a prearranged sport.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, but it's something that a lot of us can relate to, not believing that we're able to persevere, knowing that we're good enough to play. Somebody's going to pick us because I can catch, because I can throw, because I can put the ball in the basket, because I can get rebounds, because I can run screens. I can, you know, I'm a team player.
Because I'm a good worker. We do it every day. We do it every day at work.
Right.
At our jobs,
mm-hmm.
you know, and where, especially if there's a favorite, you know, there at the job, we'll say, damn, I know I do a better job or just a job that's just as good as this person. But, you know, this person just got promoted to team leader. I'm never going to, you know, I'm not going to be able to move ahead. There's no room. There's nowhere for me to grow. They're not going to pick me anyway.
They're not going to pick me anyway. How about this one? They doing layoffs at the job. You know how the rumors of the layoffs at the job.
Oh, I bet I'm next. Mentality?
Yo, especially when the layoffs actually come. It's coming. It's
mm-hmm.
coming. And when it doesn't hit you, are you thinking that, like, why would they lay me off? I'm making money for them. I'm hand over fist. No, it's like, yo, they missed me this time. Mm-hmm. Such and such must have looked out for me in HR.
Yep.
Symbolism of setbacks. Symbolism of setbacks. Shout out to people in HR that look out for people.
We completely forget the good job that we've been doing.
Yeah.
And the weight that may have had on the decision not to lay you off. You just be like, you know, they're supposed to be doing another round. I bet I'm coming on round two. They're going to get me on round two. Round two comes, you don't get laid off. All right, well, round three, I'm sure to get it. I just want to say it's been great working with all y'all that are left. I'm pretty sure I'm not going to make this next round.
You know what's funny, though? Yeah, I mean, you're right. The funny thing is there are so many times when the person who does the less work, the one who sloughs off the most, the ones who steal all the time and bullshit and take all the days off and are late all the time, they be the ones talking about something. They can't fire us. They can't fire me because if they do, I'm suing and blah, blah, blah. I'll be like,
No, what a position. For real, that's true.
It is. I'm looking like, the chopping block should be made for you. But you the one like, shit, don't worry, y'all. Shoot. They better not think about laying me off. Because if they do, I know this about this person and blah, 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 blah. All that shit going to come out. They want to worry about you coming in on time, but they don't want to worry about this over here and that over there. They need to worry about how he was getting head, how he was getting head in his office after he thought everybody left.
This is a real conversation, too. I really have somebody do that at my job. I just got fired right after that.
Woo. Can't fire me. The worst employee.
Ain't nobody scared of them. Ain't nobody scared of them. They were like, please get all your stuff and come with us. Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
They must have given me a new office. Mm-hmm, sure. But yeah, once they, you know, people start getting fired at the job, man, that shit set off a firestorm amongst employees. Like, oh shit, what's happening here? I'm next, and you know why you next? Because somebody saw you shake that pack of M&Ms out of the damn vending machine in the break room, and that's your ass.
No, somebody saw you walk out of the supply closet with extra steno pads.
That's
and a
right.
Box of pens, the good
toilet
pens.
Toilet paper. That's the death of an employee. You stealing toilet paper? Yeah. Symbolism of setbacks. I was thinking about this show earlier today, you know, like it just kind of hit me. You know? It's tough being in that position. It really, really is tough. But I think that most of the mm-hmm. positions that we find ourselves in are definitely of our own doing. And even the ones that aren't of our own doing should not symbolize. I mean, let me cut myself off. Whatever happened to when one door closes, another one opens?
One opens. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Well, we might say that one at the job.
Maybe. Not really, because they were firing 40. They fired 43 people at my job. 47, excuse me.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when the first six people got fired, you're like, damn, that's fucked up. And, you know, somewhere around, you know, number 28, 29, you know, we were nervous. You know, you go to go, you know, you because you're nervous because 28 people have been fired, and
right.
then everybody's texting each other. Now you don't press in your password properly, so now you can't get in your computer. and you're like, oh, shit, I'm next. This is really what was happening. And you were forced to think about the symbolism of that setback. What does this mean? What does this mean for me? What does this mean for my career? Mm-hmm. What does this mean for me at this job moving forward if they don't fire me? You know, it was definitely one that had you questioning things, and none of us were saying, oh, well, one door closes, another one opens, not in the moment. You
right.
say that after you realize they stopped at number 47, you know,
right.
and you only say that about a week after they stopped at number 47 because you're not sure. You just try to make sure, number 48, call number 48, nobody, okay, good. And then a week later, then you're talking about, you know, doors opening and the shit that you would have done. No, you're lying because in the moment you had no idea what was what and you were forced to think about the symbolism of what was going on.
It is. It can be tough. It really can. But when you are in control of your own destiny or whatever, it's a lot easier to believe that more positive things are going to happen to you because you are controlling that. You know what you have done to set things up. Basically, you have learned how to put the fix in for yourself. When you are dependent upon somebody else in order to make certain things happen to you where you may not actually be putting in the work, it can get very, very scary. Very, very scary. And you would think mm-hmm. that would compel us to try to take better control of our lives. But maybe on a positive note, maybe that's where the trust kicks in. They're going to look out mm-hmm. for me.
Mm-hmm.
That's as positive as we're going to get. Listen, I appreciate you calling in. Appreciate it mucho.
No problem. It's a pleasure. Thank you.
All right. So you have a good day, and please be safe out there. All right.
You too. Thank you.
All right, y'all. We have some birthday shout-outs to do. Some people were born on this glorious, glorious, glorious March 6th, and they deserve to be acknowledged. So let's go about our business of acknowledging them and making them feel special because they are special because they are special because they are S-P-E-C-I-A-L. They get the R-E-S-P-E-C-T. They are S-P-E-C-I-A-L. They get the R-E-S-P-E-C-T. They are S-P-E-C-I-A-L. They get the R-E-S-P-E-C-T. They get number one out the box, Bo Collins, turning 49 years old today, and also Tracy Reed, turning 41 years old today, and lovely Ociel, turning 29 years old today, and Verdella Brown, turning 67 years old today, and Tamika Presley, happy birthday to you, and Celiana Luna Tejada, turning 27 years old today, and April Kelly, turning 37 years old today, and Veronica White, turning 30 years old today, and comedian, my man Tommy Turner, turning 39 years old today, and Kareem Slade, happy birthday to you, and last but not least, Kimberly Thompson, turning 42 years old today. I want to say happy birthday to all of you and anyone else out there who shares this birthday on this glorious, glorious, glorious March 6th, anywhere out there in the world, worldwide, internationally, and universally, all of y'all go ahead and turn up. But don't turn up too loud. Just turn up loud enough so everybody can hear you. I rock out. Rock on it. Do the damn, the rock out. Rock on it. Do the damn, rock out. Rock on it. Do the damn thing. You do your thing, y'all. Represent the queens and kings. You do your thing, y'all. Represent the queens and kings. Good things happen to those who wait. Great things happen to those who grind. And anything can happen to those who go for theirs. So go hard, go for yours. And remember, man, the symbolic of setbacks. Just because something happens bad to somebody else or something negative happens to you, it doesn't mean that it's going to set off a domino effect of things that are bad things that are going to come time after time after time after time. We talked about controlling your own destiny and being in control of the things that happen to you. Now, we know that there's only a certain amount of control that we can have over our lives because we have to learn, we have to grow, we have to change, we have to go on with time as time marches on. But we can still put things in place that can make us more confident about the probabilities of the things that are going to happen to us. We know that something is going to happen, but we should not get all stuck and bogged down by thinking that only the negative things are going to happen and really, really have a mental block concerning the positive things that could happen as well. At the end of the day, we're going to be all right or we ain't going to be here at all. How about that? I want to give a shout out. To my brother-in-law, Tommy Morgan. He had a stroke. He had a stroke this past week. And, messed him up pretty bad, but he's fighting and he's doing all right. And I'm going to go see him today. I went to go see him yesterday, and it was good to see him, conscious and ready to go. So I'm hoping that it'll even be better today. So going against the symbolism of setbacks, he has definitely suffered a physical setback, and it could be a mental setback also. But I believe, I believe in him. He's very, very strong man, very, very goodwill, just a good guy overall. And this is my ex-brother-in-law, but he'll always be my brother-in-law because he was a good dude. And I know that he's going to get through this thing, and I want to say that I'm proud of him. And he's a glaring example. First of all, he's a kidney transplant recipient. So he's been battling this kidney disease for 30 years, you know, all that dialysis and shit like that and all of that, him and his sister. So, you know, both of them have had to show, you know, tremendous strength and resolve and patience in dealing with their condition. And both of them are still here. And, you know, and although he suffered this setback, I know he's going to be all right. And y'all going to be all right, too. Shout out to my man, Ansel Jones. Good to see you came up in here. So I want y'all to all have a great afternoon. You know, do the damn thing today. Do the damn thing. And make sure y'all hit that like button. Make sure that y'all share the show. Make sure that y'all subscribe to the channel if you haven't subscribed to the channel yet. And I will see y'all tomorrow night for a Daily Go Get'emism show. Y'all know how it goes. So, Blog Talk, we're going to get you on up out of here. A Rock Timmer say peace. Hold on. And for my Instagrammers, Five Slammer Jammer, thanks for coming on through and let me exercise my grammar. Peace. And for my YouTubers, you know just how we do, but thanks for coming on through. See you on the other side, my boobers. And you know.